Peter's recollections, or the family's recollections that Peter read. I'm sure that there are many people in our congregation here that have some pretty special memories of Tao, and I'm sure you'd love to share those with members of the family who don't live here, and there'll be opportunities, as I said before, to do that over some afternoon tea, and I'm sure they'd love to hear some things. Lindy, my wife, and I arrived in Canberra, and that coincided with pretty much with a very important day. And that day was the 50th wedding anniversary of Tao and Meek in 2007. And over the years, we've been good friends with the Ottens. As Peter's mentioned, Tao was a strong man. I think he kind of relished his strength. He had that famous handshake. He had to get in really quickly to avoid having your fingers crushed. One of those sort of handshakes. And I remember him often walking to the Thursday night prayer meeting all the way from Hilda Street across here. Somebody would often give him a lift home afterwards, but he would walk across, and he would he had, as you know, a good sense of humour. In recent months, when Anne James would transport him to and from, or from and to, Mirinjani and the church, he would leave the building on Anne's arm and say, "Here is my new wife," which was very embarrassing for me. And I used to tell him off, but of course he was just making one of his silly jokes, you know. He was a bit of a joker. In fact, a couple of weeks ago when we visited him in hospital, he couldn't speak or hear us. He didn't have hearing aids in or anything. And he hadn't been shaved for a few days, so he had quite a growth of beard on his face and on his upper lip. And as we were sitting there, we were talking and just being with him for a little while, at one stage he reached up and he touched his upper lip, and then he reached out and pointed at mine. You know, "I've got one too," he was saying. It was just really lovely. Again, that kind of twinkle in his eye, even though he was very sick and very low at that point in the hospital, he still had that twinkle in his eye and wanted to get that across. And again, I'm sure before my time, again, Tao used to be the chef par excellence for the family camp that was held every couple of years. And he would start preparing for that the year before. And he'd be buying stuff up, and so I've been told. And of course, it was always a magnificent production when people arrived at the campsite that Tao had organised the meals and everything else. So we've got some very precious memories of him, as the family has as well. But now he's gone to be with the Lord. And here we are. We gather to give thanks to God for his life, to give praise to God, to worship him for who he is, and to support the family. And I'd like to draw your attention for a few minutes to some of the words that Neil read for us. You may have noticed as he was reading, there's a word that appears a couple of times at least in this passage, and it is the word separate. Separate. And I'd like to speak with you briefly about the subject of no final separation. It's an experience common to all mankind, and we all fear it. And while we pass through it, it is a country from whose borders nobody returns. And while it is an experience that we all share, eventually, it is nonetheless still the great unknown. It is a door into an everlasting future, spent whether in glory or in hell. And I'm speaking, of course, of death. And as we meet here to remember with gratitude to God, one who has gone through that door, let's just remember that the death is a horrible, terrible, evil thing that God did not originally create into the world, but which came in because of various reasons, which I'll look at briefly now. What is death? Well, I mentioned that the passage in a couple of verses mentions separation, and fundamentally, death is separation. Death separates or tears apart body and soul. It tears us apart. And by death, that innermost person, the real you, the real me, is torn away from this old body and separated. My body is buried in the grave. My soul lives on. Death, therefore, separates also from the world of sense and from feeling. We are no longer a part of this world when we die. And that's why the Bible sometimes speaks of death as a sort of a sleep. Death also separates loved ones. There's no human relationship that can avoid this separation, the separation of death. Whether it's the most wonderful marriage, the most loyal attachment to a cause, the greatest service of others, whether in politics or the church or some community organisation, whether it's the possession of great material wealth in this world, they're all broken apart by death. The character of death is separation. But the Bible also tells us about the cause of death. It says that the cause of death is sin. Now, sin is a failure to love God with all our entire heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbour as ourselves. It's a condition that we're all born with. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's why death is universal, for the Bible also says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's Teo, that's everybody. Now, I've mentioned before that the character of death is separation. And the Word of God tells us that sin leads not only to physical death, but also to eternal death, which is a far, far more serious thing, isn't it? When Adam sinned, man and woman were cast out of God's presence in that garden. It's notable, though, that the Bible concludes not with a negative, sad note. It concludes rather with mankind restored to fellowship with God in a beautiful city. One definition of hell is everlasting separation from God. In Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, he says this, speaking of the day of Christ's return, he says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. That's a fearful prospect, isn't it? What a terrible, terrible thing. Separated forever from God's love. Well, how can we avoid that? How can a person be restored to the fellowship and friendship with God that we forfeited because of sin? Romans chapter 8 speaks of separation, but it also says, who shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? And the answer is in these verses. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, just in case he's forgotten something, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? No final separation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the great message of the Bible. Now, what is that power that can overcome this? The power of death. It's the power of God who has provided the gift of life in Christ Jesus. I read before from Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the verse doesn't finish there. It goes on. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that tremendous? Christ Jesus has removed the cause of eternal death by himself suffering death in the place of his people. He underwent the punishment. He was paid the wages for my sin, for our sins. He who did not spare his own son, Paul writes, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. It is God who declares to be righteous. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Death is separation, but God's gift means being made God's friends forever, reconciled to God forever. put right with God. And it's a gift. We don't have to earn it. We couldn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But it's freely given by God. It's a gift that he gives to those who will receive it, who see their need, who stretch out their empty hands to him and say, Lord, save me. Give me that gift. I cannot earn it. I can't do it myself. Have you received that gift? Death is separation, yes. But there is something that is stronger than death, and that is the love of God for those who belong to Jesus, the risen Saviour. That's a love stronger than death. Today we meet together because of the grim reality of death. It reminds us that not one of us, nobody in this room this afternoon, will evade that final call, unless Christ should come first. None of us will evade that call. In just a few years' time, our bodies shall be laid in their graves, or our ashes placed in some place or other, just as we laid the mortal remains of Theotin to rest this morning at the Woden Cemetery. But the question for you and for me is this: where will our spirit be on the day of our funeral? Will it be with Christ, or will it be in another place? God's invitation comes to each of us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Saved from everlasting death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Now just like you and me, Teo is not a perfect man. I wouldn't like my life to be projected up there on the screen, that's for sure. Not all of it, some of it maybe. But God had mercy on him. God had mercy on Teo Otten. God gave him the gift of faith in his son, the son who died for sinners, and Teo trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to save him, to give him life. And if you are Christ's today, then know this, not even death can separate you from his love. Let me read the words again. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are triumphant words, aren't they? Wonderful words. Words that Christians take hold of, that Teo took hold of, that the family can take hold of, that we can all take hold of and say, yes, Lord, I want to be Christ. I want to love him and serve him and know that, yes, I will be with him forever, as will Teo Otten be. Amen.